The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Connect with ultra-fast speeds and our best ever Wi-Fi all around your home.
And good morning all and welcome to the show. My name is Oliver Callan and I hereby declare that I have won the state of Pennsylvania. Yes, it's that sort of a day. It is the Ryan Tuberty Show, by the way, and I'm here until 10 o'clock. But then I'm going to call for a recount and I'm going to demand an hour off Claire Byrne. So that is kind of the atmosphere at the moment. The text, as ever, is 51551 and the email is ryan@rte.ie. And we've a very busy show for my last day in this seat before Ryan's return on Monday. We've a great competition and exclusive news about what's happening in the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre in the summer of 2021. Dream of that day. And we'll be chatting to the undisputed kings of Culchie, the two Johnnies, later on. And if I sound a little bit croaky this morning, it's because I haven't been sleeping a whole lot. None of us have, let's face it. It's like the lady in the sponsorship sting just said. The election just goes on and on and on. Also, Callan's Kicks is on air this evening. It's at 6:30 on this channel. And between the outbreaks of Trump and the Healy Rays roaring the other day, remember that? I think it was Tuesday, which was about 12 years ago. It's been a fairly trying week on the vocal cords. So what can we tell you about America this morning? Well, it's jacked up on Red Bull, painkillers and plain bull right now, maybe. The gap in Georgia, we heard in Morning Ireland, is now down to around 600 votes. Whew. So it could go either way over the coming hours. We either will have 4 years of watching a 78-year-old uncle-y type adorably forgetting where he left the keys to the nuclear codes, or else it'll feel like 4 years of checking into a hotel room with Johnny Depp in which you're afraid to fall asleep or check the bed sheets. So that's what's on offer this morning. Hold on to your bonnets. We should know in the next couple of hours. We said that yesterday, didn't we? We said Nevada, we would know by 5 o'clock. And they've said, no, 5 o'clock this evening. I actually went to sleep last night where the returning officer over there said 190,000 votes is all that's left to count. And it's no different. They don't have the results. It is really like a multiple count. It's very like an Irish election, isn't it? Maybe it's kind of like, no, we don't start till 9 a.m. Anyway, the claims of Trump, as we're all hearing, of voter fraud on the mail-in ballots is becoming a bit of a challenge in the media on how to cover the president's appearances. And last night, three major US networks, on the TV networks that is, cut away from his speech before it was over, his claims. And they have fears that his claims are undermining the count still ongoing. The Trump campaign has produced no evidence, but some would say cutting away from those speeches amounts to, you know, perhaps censorship. Three broadcast networks, according to the New York Times, ABC, CBS and NBC, all cut away during the news conference from the White House. They're the biggest ones, by the way, so that kind of deprived him of a significantly larger audience for his unfiltered remarks on the election, the New York Times says, although the cable news networks CNN and Fox News continued carrying Mr. Trump's remarks live. Afterwards, on Fox News, that's the pro-Trump network, the network's chief White House correspondent, John Roberts, said viewers, we haven't seen any evidence to back up the president's unsubstantiated claims of electoral fraud. And a lot of Irish people watch CNN from this country, from here, and that's our coverage mainly of the US election. And it's fair to say that Anderson Cooper on CNN went a little bit further than Fox once the Trump news conference had ended.
Well, I don't think we've ever seen anything like this from a president of the United States. And I think, as Jake said, it's sad and it is truly pathetic. And of course, it is dangerous. And of course, it will go to courts, but you'll notice the president did not have any evidence presented at all. Nothing. No real actual evidence of any kind of fraud. He talked about people putting up papers in windows. He talked about things that he'd seen on the internet. That is the president of the United States. That is the most powerful person in the world. And we see him like an obese turtle on his back, flailing in the hot sun, realizing his time is over. But he just hasn't accepted it, and he wants to take everybody down with him, including this country.
Strong stuff. Thank you for your service, Mr. Cooper. So they did run his comments in full, and we've run them here and as well on Morning Ireland, just in case you are a Trump fan and you're wondering, has he been censored and so on. And actually, talking about CNN, a lot of people are swooning in Ireland over John King on CNN. And this ties in with a report that says TikTok is also going head over heels for a new kind of celebrity on the social media network that tends to favour the younger crowd. And it's John King, election analyst. As the election drags on and Americans are glued to their TV sets, following every twist and turn, journalists like CNN's John King, who are helping us make sense of the Electoral College drama, are enjoying the adulation. TikTok users are uploading videos of the two on-air personalities complete with upbeat, catchy songs as the backdrop. Now, as ever, Irish Twitter, obviously trying to make the election over there all about us, have been a bit obsessed with John King. Richard Chambers, Virgin Media journalist, says he's obsessed with how John King is drawing the number 8. So basically you have Wolf Blitzer, who's the main anchor, and he announces things, and then they cut to John King, who draws them on the board. It's a live touch screen thing, and he seems to be doing 2-0s, and I don't take my word for this. Take the word of none other than Simon Harris, the Minister for Higher Education. He says, yes, 2-0s on top of each other. Well, if it's good enough for John King at CNN, Bruno O'Donovan replied to it, then said, I love John CNN as much as the next person, but have you all seen him draw the figure 8? And of course, John King himself got in touch and said, yes, the nuns tried their best. And then fast forward to a few hours later, and John King, live on CNN, having responded and seen what was going on Irish Twitter, corrected how he was drawing the number 8. These are very, very important things. Derry Girls creator Lisa McGee then starts speculating, is John King Irish yet? And he and Dervil MacDonald, genealogists are working faster than the count in Nevada to find the necessary links. Well, that wouldn't be hard, to be fair. And Darrow Breen said, sure, look at the Pat Kenny head on him. And in fairness, he kind of does look a lot like latter-day Pat Kenny, shall we say. And then he did come back and say, yes, he is definitely, he's feeling green. He's feeling green right now. Now, someone else who also claims Irish roots is Stephen Colbert, the host of The Late Show, who we have to caveat here, says he's been openly campaigning for Biden on air, and he's been doing very funny stuff on Trump for years and years, but he's very pro-Biden. This was a bit of his monologue on CBS, which is a kind of a conservative channel and doesn't allow bad language.
This is one I really wish I could swear. But I'll say this. We're not going to show you a second of what that sad, frightened fraud said tonight. Because it's poison and I like you. He can suck silence.
He can suck on that silence. That's Stephen Colbert. He was kind of madder than usual, you know, as an angrier than usual. And if, by the way, if you are a Republican this morning and you're listening in, 51551 is the text. We will hear your voice. It might be worth for the Republicans getting online to find a clip of that John McCain speech, which went viral over the last 12 or 24 hours. He's, of course, one of the most revered Republicans, the late John McCain, I should say. It's 4 minutes long, so we don't have time to play it on this programme, but do check it out. It's his concession speech after he lost to Barack Obama in 2008. And as soon as he mentions Obama's name, you know, the crowd, the Republicans, they all start booing, but he puts his hands up and says, no, please don't. And it's quite a moving speech when you look at it now, these years later, particularly since he's passed. It's only 2008. It feels like, you know, another century ago. But there you go. It was only 12 years ago. And particularly fitting because Arizona is in play, and that was the home state of John McCain. His old Senate seat, by the way, went to a Democrat. But in the kind of closing gaps everywhere, Arizona is the one that looks like Trump actually could possibly win, whereas Biden is looking good in all the other states that are still in play. Some good news, more good news for the Biden fans. Melania Trump, the first lady, has conceded they've lost the election, but her body double says there's been voter fraud. Now, I haven't fact checked any of that, but, you know, fact checking isn't really the theme of the Trump election campaign. So let's leave it there. Speaking of fact checking, Waterford Whispers News, which is the joyful, fact-free website that we all love, the satirical website, has been commenting on Brian O'Donovan, because obviously you can't avoid Brian O'Donovan, our very own Brian O'Donovan. I don't think he slept for, you know, 72 hours straight, and he looks as fresh as a daisy. Well, they had a great headline, I think it was the other day. Brian O'Donovaning harder than ever before. TV viewers have expressed their concern to RT that Brian O'Donovan may be reaching never-before-seen levels of Brian O'Donovaning, an intense crescendo of distinctive newspeak and intonations that could spell catastrophe for the journalist if he doesn't let up. I could nearly have done that in Brian O'Donovan's speak, where he goes really high and then really, really low. And we should actually mention the Waterford Whispers best-selling satirical annual. Their new book, which they do every year, is out today. Waterford Whispers News 2020, and it's got all sorts of lovely headlines in there. I picked one at random here to do with the election, and this is the kind of best of the year. Biden's chances of election victory improve after allegations of sexual assault. So that's one of their sample headlines. You see, that's a kind of a, you know, that's a Trumpian slanted joke there. So we've loads of balance on this show. Now, speaking of balance around the place, and we know that Facebook and Twitter, they've been flagging Trump posts and supporters of Trump as misleading. Mind you, the billions those companies have made from, you know, the distribution of division and falsehoods for the last couple of years. You know, flagging things as misleading is like locking the stable door after the deep-fried unicorns have bolted. Anyway, Twitter has permanently suspended Steve Bannon after talk of beheading. What? Former White House chief strategist Steve Bannon has had his Twitter account permanently suspended. Also, I think his YouTube accounts are also gone. He had made a video posted to Facebook, YouTube and Twitter in which he basically was calling for beheadings. The quote is, "I'd put the heads on pikes. I'd put them at the two corners of the White House as a warning to federal bureaucrats. You either get with the program or you are gone." The comments came during a live stream of Bannon's War Room pandemic online show. What a show. That's what counts for entertainment these days. Anyway, it goes on and on and on and on and on. 51551 is the text. Oliver, thank God they didn't buy the Irish electronic voting machines over there. Trump would have exploded, says Eugene. Yes, that straightaway result wouldn't have worked. In actual fact, I've picked a thing out here from the Irish Daily Mail, which is all about why the tallying is so slow with the mail-in ballots. And it's because of the record number of mail-in ballots, which take longer to process because they have to be verified and scanned via a system with multiple steps where things can and have gone awry, especially with both Republican and Democrats looking over their shoulders, the monitors that are in there. Voting centres around the US have also reported issues with ink shortages, ballots printed on the wrong paper and faulty machinery, exacerbating an already arduous process. As well as, of course, the pressure to make sure the results are right. They could do maybe with the doll printer. Remember the $2 million printer? That was a scandal about a year ago and it still hasn't printed a single page. I kid you not. Now, moving on slightly from the election, I want to talk about Michael Flatley. Don't know where he stands on the election, but he did perform at Trump's inauguration in January 2017. And what is he doing? Well, Evoke.ie tells us he's selling off some of his prized possessions as part of a clear out of his impressive Castlehyde stately home. The sprawling mansioneer from Moy in County Cork is undergoing a refurb, which is why the Lord of the Dance star is putting some of his extraordinary possessions up for auction. Now, some stuff you'd expect. Suits of armour, very flatly, you know. His Louis the 16th desk, a full-size billiard table and all sorts of kind of Chesterfield library sofas and stuff like that. And then some things you wouldn't expect. Like he's selling off the mask worn by Anthony Hopkins, where he played Hannibal Lecter in the movie Hannibal. Not Silence of the Lambs, the follow-up one with Julianne Moore as Clarice Starling. And it's signed by Anthony Hopkins and Julianne Moore, bizarrely. So just thinking of Michael Flatley in the Anthony Hopkins, in the Hannibal mask, you know. Mushy, mushy, mucushly, you know. A census taker once tried to test me. But surely, you know, didn't I eat her liver with some Irish stew and a nice Kiora? And you can buy me mask for between 80 and 120,000 euro. God be good to you. And I'll belong to you. Tis amazing stuff. The text 51551, Oliver John McCain was a class act. It's as simple as that, says Ed, possibly a fan of the Republicans. Leave our Brian O'Donovan alone. He's the best Washington correspondent RTE have had to date. Well, Charlie Bird might have something to say about that. Charlie Bird might be upset because I used to shout even louder than Brian O'Donovan. I'm not having a go at him, you know me. He's a very distinguishable character, which for someone who does funny voices is very helpful in an election. And it's kind of amazing because with all of the international stuff that you can watch the US election on, we always do drive towards one of our own. And I've just been listening to Morning Ireland this morning, which is the middle of the night where he is. And he just has a very good way of succinctly putting what is very chaotic and quite hard to get all the nuggets of information to one place. And he can distill it down and do it. And the fact that he does it in that lovely, bouncy intonation kind of helps things go along as well. what is Mary is texting and she says she's addicted to John King on CNN and the magic wall that he's scrawling his weird number eights in. Anyway, that is what's going on this morning. There's good news in COVID. We hear Fergal Bowers was almost giddy with the COVID numbers on the news last night. At least down south anyway, not so great in the north, but the figures in the Republic are so good that Ireland and Finland are the only EU countries where the 14-day incident rate has decreased. And Ireland has never had anything in common with an efficient Scandinavian country, let's face it. I mean, you couldn't think of a country less like Ireland than Finland. They wouldn't build, for example, a theme park dedicated to a salted, deep-fried potato, would they? Bring their kids to it. No. So there is a bit of hope there, so take that into your hearts. As hard as I know it is for people in all those industries that remain closed down, some of them at least till December 1st, and some of them even beyond that in the live entertainment arena. So take the good news on your step. And take that step and dance like Michael Flatley would, because Miley Cyrus, you know that song Midnight Sky, and everybody was saying, that sounds a bit like Stevie Nicks, isn't it? Fleetwood Mac thing. Yes, because there was a sample of Edge of 17 in the song Midnight Sky. But now someone has beautifully brought Stevie Nicks and Miley's musical heroes. They've all come together, the producers, with a Miley and a Midnight Sky and Edge of 17 mashup, which was released today. And that's a good number to dance to at 20 minutes past the hour of nine. Good morning. That's it, two generations coming together, Stevie Nicks and Miley Cyrus with Midnight Sky featuring Edge of 17. It's a hit. It's a hit, isn't it? Gets you up and going. Anyway, the text number as well is 51551. People are getting in touch about John King's number 8 on the CNN magic screen. When I was a child, I couldn't draw the number 8. I was shown how to use the two circles on top of each other by my aunt. I was very happy. It got me through a lot of trouble in school, so whatever works. Ronan and Dunleary on Trump's Pennsylvania failed lawsuit. He's quoting Justin Levitt, a professor at a law school in LA. And he said, a lawsuit without provable facts showing a statutory or constitutional violation is just a tweet with a filing fee. Yeah, somebody's going to get paid along there, aren't they? Somebody saying Katrina Perry wasn't bad either as US correspondent. Just give her a shout out. Not doing bad either on RT since being back on Irish soil, says Julia, Cork listener. You know, that's kind of a bit of an understatement. Katrina Perry is the host of the 6-1 News off the back of the success of being a Washington correspondent. People loving the mashup, the Stevie Nicks and Miley Cyrus, both the original and the sample, improved by smashing them together. Smushing them together, actually, is the word there. It's a different type of thing. Someone thought Eye of the Tiger was kicking in. Yes, we had that the last time I was on, actually, about a month ago. But Stevie can nick whatever she likes. She get it. That's the level of humour we're at today. We'll be chatting to the two Johnnies after the break.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, welcome back. And I was talking about John McCain's concession speech earlier in 2008 when Barack Obama was elected president. And a texter just says, "And as an English teacher, I'm blown away by the power of his language that could move a disgruntled audience towards a desire to respect and appreciate those you ideologically oppose. I'm sure it embodies the sentiments of many self-respecting Republicans who've been maligned by current events. Its value equals that of I have a dream and one I will share with my students," says Kevin in Dublin. And let's have a listen to some of what John McCain said 12 years ago.
Senator Obama and I have had and argued our differences, and he has prevailed. No doubt many of those differences remain. These are difficult times for our country, and I pledge to him tonight to do all in my power to help him lead us through the many challenges we face. I urge all Americans who supported me to join me in not just congratulating him, but offering our next president our goodwill and earnest effort to find ways to come together.
Moving words, that's the late John McCain there, and plenty more for the rest of the day on the U.S. election.